So in this week's parsha, there are primarily two lengthy sugyas. Number one is Kinyan Zdei Amachpelo Al Yedei Avraham Avinu, when Avraham Avinu comes to bury Sarah after Yemei HaBechi VeHamispod, and he purchases Chevron Zdei Amachpelo, which is one of our holiest sites, probably right after the Kaisel HaMaravi, maybe even before the Kaisel HaMaravi. So the Torah deals at great length with the details of this transaction, obviously a very important transaction. And the second parsha is the Shlichus of Eliezer Eved Avraham to look for a wife for Yitzchok Uvinu. And both of these parshiyos are so fundamental in the development and in the history and in the Jewish story. So today in our shiur we will be dealing with both sugyas. First part, the halachic part of the shiur, will deal with Zdei Efrain, and maybe then in Musa we will have a brief glimpse at the shlichus of Eliezer Eved Avraham. So today actually we will be dealing to a certain degree in the Choshe Mishpat of Avraham Avinu. There are two basic approaches in the interpretation of what we learn in Chazal twice in Shas, Kedushin Pei Beis, Amad Aleph, and in Yom Echof Ches Omed Beis. Kiyom Avraham Avinu Korot Erekula Ad Sheloi Nitnu Ava Afilu Eruv Tavshinen. So some of the Rishonim took this mamer at face value, and their interpretation is, yes, Avraham Avinu observed Korot Erekula Ad Sheloi Nitnu with all Proteo V'Digdukeo, and even Eruv Tavshinen. Does that mean that Avraham Avinu was Boki in the Shaar Tzion and the Bihalocha and the Mishnah Brura and all the little details in Hilchos Shabbos and in Hilchos Eruv Tavshilin and in Hilchos Yom Tev and all the Protim and Pirtei Protim? Yes, some of the commentators say yes, that is what Chazal say, Kiyom Avraham Avinu Koratur Kulat Shulaninu Vafiru Eruv Tavshilin, which means all the details and the nuances of Birur HaHalacha. Well, we do not find any explicit and clear sources ad kedei kach, but I always quote what the Rambam writes, at least regarding Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Rambam, in his introduction to Shas, Perash HaMishnah LaShas, the Rambam writes, and this is a very powerful line which I quote many times, Mashiyasu Yehoshua v'Pinchas, and he's referring to Yeshua ben Nun and Pinchas ben Elazar, the disciples of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ma sheyasu Yehoshua v'Pinchas be'inyanu iun v'asvora hu ma sheyasu Rabbeinu v'Ravashi. That's what the Rambam writes. And I would go on along the same theme, and I would say, ma sheyasu Yehoshua v'Pinchas be'inyanu iun v'asvora hu ma sheyasu Rabbeinu v'Ravashi v'ma sheyasu Rabbeinu v'Ravashi hu ma sheyasu Harambam v'Haravid v'Bisyoise v'Ramo v'Ktsois v'Anasivis. So the journey of Oman HaTorah starts off with Moshe Rabbeinu and his disciples. And why is this important to stress? Because in literature and in art, in the modern world, the way the giants of the Tanakh are described and depicted and presented is very different than the way the Tanoim and the Amarim and the Rishonim and the Poskim are. And, you know, some of the great figures in modern Jewry also were great admirers of the heroes of the Tanakh. And they didn't feel so comfortable with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Kiva and Ravina Veravashi and the giants of Torah and the generations to come. So, yes, Yeshua obviously led an army. I mean, after all, he was the one that conquered Eretz Yisrael. But the Rambam does write, Mashias Yasu Yehoshua v'Pinchas be'inyenu iun v'asvora hu Mashiasu Ravina v'Ravashi. Moshe was the greatest leader, but Moshe was first and foremost a Rosh Hashiva. V'Moshe kibel Torah Masinai v'mesor al Yehoshua v'kol Mashe Talmid v'osek osed l'chadash nimser l'Moshe Masinai. So the way we relate to Yehoshua ben Nun and Pinchas ben Elazar is the way we relate to Ravina v'Ravashi. And one of Pinchas ben Elazar's friends, and he was a contemporary of Yeshua ben Nun, his name was Otniel ben Kenaz. And the Gemara does say in Temura that Shorosh Alfi Alochas Nishtakhu B'yamei Evlo Shel Moshe Ve'echziron Otniel Ben Kraz B'Pilpulo. 3,000 alochas were forgotten. And Otniel Ben Kraz B'Pilpulo Yechzir Shloshet Alafim Alochas. So yes. And the way we see it, this journey goes all the way back to Avraham Avinu. As the Gemara says in Yom HaChav Ches, Avraham Zokam V'yoshev V'yishiva, Yitzchak Zokam V'yoshev V'yishiva, Yaakov Zokam V'yoshev V'yishiva, Omi Yameim Shel Avoseinu, Loi Posko Yeshiva Meim. So, the first part of today's Shiur deals with Avraham Avinu's Choshem Mishpat, Al Kol Proteo V'Digdukeo. And most of the Shiurim, if we do say regarding Mass Avos, deal more with concepts in Orach Chaim, but sometimes let's examine the Bekiyas of Avraham Avinu in Choshem Mishpat. So when he comes to purchase Zdei HaMachpelo, let's just briefly go over the Psukim. So after Vayov Avraham Lispoid Lesorah Velav Koysa Vayokam Avraham Al Pnei Meisa Vidaber Al Bnei Ches Leimor, he turns to Bnei Ches. Bnei Ches aren't really in charge. It is only Ephron ben Soichar. But nevertheless, Avraham prefers not to deal and turn directly to Ephron, but he speaks with the people, with the community. Ve'edaber al b'nei cheis leimar. Geve toshim anochi mochem, tunu le'achuz es kevra mochem, ve'yegbur o'meisem alafonai, ve'yanu b'nei cheis Avraham leimaroi, שמעיני אדוני נשיא אליהם אתו בדרכני במבחר כוויני כועס נסך וישמן הסכיבו לו יחל ומקווי מסך ויוקם אברום משטח ולעם אורס לבני חייס. And then he says פיגו לי באפרוין בן סויחר. First of all, the people say, of course, we'll sell you. You're not in charge. You aren't the proper owner of מורס המכפל. It's אפרוין בן סויחר. But nevertheless, first he turns to the community and they are forthcoming and they say, why not? Of course, we'll be happy. And then he starts to negotiate with the real boss, with Ephraim ben Sochem. V'yitten li esmos ha-machpelo ha-shaloi b'kseh sodeh, v'kesef moli etneni li b'sochem l'achuz eskever. And then Avraham negotiates with Ephraim, and Ephraim says, well, Eretz Arba, Shumayini, Eretz Arba, mei shekel kesef bein chi v'mei imam, v'es mei shekel kavar. The Yorach Chaim is the first to analyze these psukim, not the first, but one of the great gedolim throughout the ages to analyze the psukim. And he has several interesting comments. Ger v'toishev v'nochi imochem. Why does Avraham stress the fact that he is a ger v'toishev? So the Or HaChaim says, the Rambam writes, in Hilchas Zechiyah v'metona, Perek ha'alochi yud alef, even though there is a lav matnas chinam, we can't give a non-Jew a matnas chinam, ger toishev is different. And ger toishev, we are entitled to give a gift. So Avraham says, Gevet Toshev Unachi Emochem, you know, and with Gerim Teshovim, we are generous. And he says, so I would expect that you come be forthcoming to me. We are forthcoming with the Teshovim, and you should reciprocate in the same way. And that is why Avraham says, Gevet Toshev Unachi Emochem. Another comment, which is an interesting comment, Or Chaim says, he says, Avraham suggests, V'yitin li es ma'oras ha-mechpela, V'yitin is losh ha-metona. Asher b'kseh sedeo, b'kesef mole yitinenno li. So on one hand, he offers money, which obviously indicates that it's a purchase and not a gift. Why would Ephraim give him a gift? But he also uses a losh ha-metona. So we find in Chazal and several Makoimis that if a person uses dual language, liyapois es koichoi, our interpretation is the fact that he uses double language is liyapois es koichoi. So the Rechaim says that Avraham is obviously concerned. There are a few ways in which this transaction could be annulled and it could go back. First of all, ein einu ela kakois. But Tosfos quotes in Kedushin Mem Beis in the sources of Yerushalmi, ein einu ela kakois is b'shtus. But if it's 100% overpaid or underpaid, yes, I know it like a koyz. So Avraham is concerned, maybe Ephron will come la'achazman with an argument, and he will try to prove that Zdei HaMechpelo is worth far more than I paid, and therefore Avraham uses language. This is a matona. And if it's a matona, there could never be an argument of a noah. Another concern which Avraham Avinu has might be Dina de Bar Metzah. So maybe there's a matzlin, and maybe Ephraim is the proper owner, he has documentation, but maybe one of the other people that have a field next to Zdeha Machpelo, they might come and argue in court in Beis Din, Dina de Bar Metzah. You know, we are first, we come before Avraham. Avraham is a stranger, but we have adjacent fields, and in that case, they could annul the purchase. And that is why Avraham wants to make this public. He also uses language of Metona, and he also speaks to Bnei Ches. You're all aware of this purchase. Don't come b'dieved and say, I didn't know. If we would know, we would object. So that is why Avraham uses the language which indicates we're dealing with a Metona, and not only a purchase. And by Metona, there is no Dina de Bar Metzah. By Metona, there could be no argument of Einoah. Argument number three, which I would add on, which Rav Chaim doesn't deal with, but there's a Gemara in Ksubis Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. Hamoicher mokim kvurasoi, b'nei ha-mishpocha moitzien mimeno bal korcho, mishum b'gam mishpocha. If there is a family lot in a cemetery, and once upon a time it was customary that families brought lots, and there were chelkes ha-mishpocha. Noyach le'lodim she'akovo be'kivrei avoisov. In this modern day and age, it's less relevant. You know, lots in Abbeis HaKoros and cemeteries are so expensive. And we all hope for Tchias HaMeisim B'Korov B'Yameinu. So it is not that common today that families are buried together. But once upon a time, that was the custom. And the Gemara says, if a person sells Mukam Kvorosoy, the family could object. And they could invalidate that purchase, mishum b'gam mishpocha. And we want all members of the family to be buried together, otherwise it might be some arguments of b'gam mishpocha, and they might say, maybe he's a mamzer, maybe he wasn't part of the family, and therefore a person doesn't have the right to sell mokam kvurosoy. And this could be an additional concern for Avraham Avinu when he comes to buy Zdeha Machpelo, because in Chazal there are sources that seem to indicate that in the immediate proximity of Zdeha Machpelo, Bnei Ches also buried their dead. So even if Ephron would sell Zdeha Machpelo, after all, we do know that Odom and Chava were buried there, and Bnei Ches buried their deceased there. So some members of the family might come and say, he had no right to sell this lot, and we want to invalidate the Kenyan. And that is another reason that he turns to Bnei Ches. It's not only Bechadre Chadorim between me and Ephraim, and then other members of the family would come and they would object. Therefore, he turns directly to Bnei Ches, make this a public issue. Everybody was aware of it, and nobody objected at the time, and therefore, those are the methods that Avraham Avinu utilizes and takes advantage of to ensure that this will be a purchase, a valid purchase, la'ol me'alamim, and nobody should come and try to turn over this purchase. The Kenyan of Zdeha Machpelo, being aware how important this is, Marsa Machpelo, for the future generations of Klal Yisrael. The Sefarno has another comment, and this is just analyzing every word in these psukim and every posik and every condition. So Ephron says, Eretz Arba Meir Shekel Beni Ubeincho Mahu Ve'es Meischu Kevoyo. So the Sephorno says that a Matona Meites, something that is something which is minor and not of any significant value, is Gomer V'Makne even without a Kinyan. And he quotes the Gemara of Matona Meites, Ein Tzorach Kinyan. And therefore, Avraham brought about that Ephron should say, Me'arba me'a shekel kesef b'ini v'b'in chumahu, and even if there wouldn't be a proper Kinyan, Gomer V'Makne without a Kinyan. So the Sephorno does quote, and That is a source in Tosfos in Ksuvos, Kuv Beis Omed Aleph. Tosfos quotes the Gemara of Matana Moetes and Bava Metzia Daf Memtes, and Tosfos says, Matana Moetes, Gomer V'makna. And that is what the Sephorno says, because between Ephraim and Avraham, Ephraim indicated, Ki'ilu Baruch Havlev, you know, between me and you, I happily do this, and it is something which I don't see as a big sacrifice, and therefore, even if the Kenyan wouldn't be a proper Kenyan, Gomer V'makna. But when we learn Bava Metzia Mem Tes, all the Gemara says is Matana Moetes Oso Lachzor Boy. You still need a Kenyan. Without a Kenyan, there is no transaction. Without a Kenyan, Ein Havarat Balut Mitzad El Sad. All the Gemara says of Bava Metzia Mem Tes, differentiating between Matana Meruba and Matana Moetes, Matana Meruba Muta Lachzor Boy. Matana Moetes also lachzor boy, and the reason also lachzor boy is shehen shulchot tzedek v'lav shulchot tzedek. So if a person promised to give his friend a gift, and the gift is of very significant value, he is entitled to retract and say, as long as I actually didn't sign over anything to you, I changed my mind. And he's entitled to change his mind, and that is not considered an aveira. It's not a transgression. But if he promised a gift which is not of significant value, then he has to live up to his promise. And he has to go ahead with what he promised to give his chaver or that other party. So all the Gemara says, and that is Rabbi Yochanan Shalochi Kamoisei, it's a Machlokes Amerom, but Halochi Rabbi Yochanan Matana Meruba Mutalach Zomer Matana Metas Osalach Zomer. I was lately dealing with an extreme case of a Yerusha situation in which one of the family members was especially close to a grandfather, and the grandfather wrote over an apartment on his name, choosing one of all the other children, and that chosen one promised his siblings, brothers and sisters, whatever I get, I will share with you. And when it came to it, he retracted and regretted, and he said, it's a personal gift, and it's mine, and I do not want to share it. And my psak was, well, he promised to share, but it's a matona meruba and mutalach zavoy. As long as he didn't sign and there was no proper kinyan, he could retract. But when we're dealing with a matona meetes, the aloch is mutalach osulach zavoy, kidei shehen shulchot tzedek v'lav shulchot tzedek. So, contrary to what the Sephorno says and what seems to be in Tosfos and Ksuvos Kuf Beis, all we learn about Metzia Mem Tes is you still need a Kenyan. And without a proper Kenyan, then Pruta Kidin Meya. Just by promising to give, that does not enact a transaction. It is only the question, is one Lachatchila entitled to regret or not? But maybe that is also the Kavanah of the Sephorno. After Ephron says, Eretz Arba Meya Shekel Kesev Beini V'Bein Chumahu, then Avraham Avinu has an argument, you cannot regret and you cannot pull back. We still need a Kenyan, but after committing yourself and saying between me and you, this is not really any serious money, then you are not entitled, at least Lechatchila, to retract and to regret, and you need to move forward with this transaction. So all the comments we said up to this point, the deal, even before a proper Kenyan was administered, was enacted. And now the question is, what Kenyanim did Avraham Avinu use for this purchase of Zdei HaMachpelah? So the Mishnah says in the first Perek of Kiddushin, Dav Chofei, Nechosim Shiyesh Lehem Achrayis Niknem Bekesev Bishtar Over Chazoka. There are three Kenyanim that are valid in the purchase of Nachosim Shiesh Lamachayis, and that is Karka. And the three Kenyonim are Kesef, Shtar, and Chazaka. And when we analyze Divrei HaRishonim and Medrash HaChazal and Rezavi, is that Avraham used all three Kenyonim. Ve'yishma Avraham el Ephraim. Ve'yishkol Avraham el Ephraim esa Kesef HaShedibe be'oznei b'nei Ches. So Avram, first of all, paid. He paid those 4,000 shekel kesef as Ephron demanded. Vayishkol Avram l'Ephron es kesef ha'shedibe ba'aznim l'cheis 4,000 shekel kesef oyven asorcha. And then the pasuk says, "Vayokam asot zday Ephron asher b'machpelo ma'ora v'chol asheboi l'Avram l'mikno." And the Rashbam and the Sephorno interpreting the Pusak L'Avrom Lemikno. I'm quoting the Sephorno, this Pusak. V'yokam asod L'Avrom Lemikno Neskayim b'chaysomav Shal Sefer HaMikno. And that is based on a Pusak in Novi Yirmiyahu. And the Gemara quotes this Pusak in Kedushin Daf Chavav, when the Mishnah says, Nechosim shesh l'machayis nikna b'kesa b'shtar b'chazoka. How do we learn shtar? Ve'ekach es sefer ha-mikno. So shtar is defined as sefer ha-mikno. And the Sephorno writes, that's the kavona. La'avrom le'mikno neskayim b'choysomov shel sefer ha-mikno. So this is the source that Avram also uses shtar. And then, v'yokam asoda v'amor ha-shaboy la'avrom la'chuz ha-skovar me'ez b'nei'chez. But the Pusik already said, Pusik Yuzayim Vayokum Zdei Ephron Asher B'Machpelo L'Avrom L'Mikno. And why does Pusik Chof say once again, Vayokum Asoda V'Amor Asher Boi L'Avrom L'Achuz Azkovar? So Medrash, it is said, the first Vayokum Zdei Ephron is by paying money. But when Avrom digs a caver, that is Kinyan Chazok. So what's Kinyan Chazaka when we're dealing with real estate? Houses or fields, what Chazal defines as Nechosim Shesh Lamachrayis, Noah, Godal, Poratz, which means building or changing, altering the physical reality of karka, of a house or a field. So when you plow a field, that's Kinyan Chazaka. And it all depends what this field is designated for. For instance, above Basta Davchov, Shvil Shal Kromim, person is Koina Al Yedei Hiluch, because a Shvil is made for going, for, you know, it's a path. It's not supposed to be plowed or built on. So if you're dealing with a house, it's no God of a Poratz. If you're dealing with a field, it's plowing the field. If you're dealing with a pathway, it's Koina Hiluch. If you're dealing with a cemetery, then Chafiras HaKeva would be defined as Kinyan Chazaka. So Avram uses Kesef, Shtar, and Chazaka. And one would ask, why would there be a need to do three Kinyanim? Is three better than one? Is two better than one? When we're dealing with Kinyanim, Ein Adam Kone V'Chozer V'Kone? So, not always do we say, Toivim HaShnayim in Ovechot. When we're dealing with people, Toivim HaShnayim and Wechad. But when you're dealing with Kinyonim, nobody disputes each of these three Kinyonim. And each of them is valid on its own. Kesef, Shtar, V'Chazoka. So why would Avraham Avinu need to go ahead and do three Kinyonim? Kesef, Shtar, and Chazoka. As the Psukim and the early commentators interpret these Psukim. So he did Kesef. And then he goes ahead with Shtar, Lavrom Lemikno, according to the Sephorno. And then the Medrash says, he's called B'chazok Al Yedei Chafiras HaKeven. And that is the second Pusuk, Vayokam Asoda V'Amor HaShaboy Lavrom L'Achuz HaZkover, Me'ez B'nei Ches. So the Pusuk says twice, Vayokam HaSoda Bidei Avrom. First with Kesem, then with Shtar, and then with Chazok. So I would say this. First of all, there's a Gemon Kedushin of Chavav. B'mokim D'Nehigi, Lemichtav Shtora, Kesef is not sufficient. In those places where the custom is to write a Shtar, Anachosim Shesh HaMachrayis, Kesef is not Koina. And why not? And why not? All these Kinyonim are derived from Psukim, either Psukim in Teres Moshe or the Psukim in Avi and Viksuvim. So from where do we learn that Kesef Koina Karka? Sodos bekesef yiknu. Where do we learn shtar? Ve'ekech ha-sefer ha-mikne. How do we learn Chazaka? V'yerishtem moysa v'yeshavtem bo. B'meh yerishtem v'yeshiva. So it's from this pasuk that we learn Chazaka is kind of a karka. V'yerishtem moysa v'yeshavtem bo. So these three kinyonim are derived from psukim. So why does the Gemara says, B'mokem shenag ulichtev shtar eina kesef koina? Not because there is any deficiency in the kinyan in itself, but loy sam chedate. Because when a person buys a field, he insists on having documentation. The seller might lie, and he might say, I didn't sell. And he will bring Adam to prove that previously he was the owner. So if the purchaser doesn't have documentation, he doesn't have a shtar, loy sam chedate, and because there's a lack of smichas das, then kesef would not be sufficient to enact this transaction. And that's why the Gemara says, b'mokim shenag olichtev es shtar, ein koinim bekesef. So, it is not because there's any deficiency in kinyan kesef, but rather smichas das. And one of the fundamentals in Torah Sekinyonim is gemara das. So in Gemara and in the Rishonim and the Poskim we find two Rishonis, Gemara Das and Smichus Das. And usually Gemara Das is mitzah the Moicher and Smichus Das is mitzah the purchaser, the Loikeach, Samach Date. And there is a need for Gemara Das and Smichus Das, both parties, the seller and the purchaser. And b'mokayim shenago lichtev es shtar, as long as he doesn't have a shtar, there's a lack of smichas das. And if there's a lack of smichas das, sometimes it also causes a lack of gemara das. When the moichel is also aware that as long as they won't write this shtar, the purchaser lo yisam chedatai, umemele gam hamoichel lo yigomer datoi lahaknois. And that is why Avram insists not only on Kesef, but he wants the Shtal Avram LeMikna, as the Sephorna says, Neskayim b'chisomav shel Sefer HaMikna. So this would explain why Avram insists on having the Shtal and not only Kinyan Kesef. But why is there a need to add on Chazaka after Shtal and Kesef? Kesef plus Shtal. So why do we need Kinyan number three, which is Chazaka? That brings us to a fascinating sugi in Bava Basra Daf Nun Dalet. And the Gemara says, Nechsei akum harayim kehefka. What does the Gemara mean? When a Jew buys a field from a non-Jew. Nechsei akum harayim kehefka. And why is that? Akum mekiyose zuzele yodei salek nafshei. Yeso loikono ad osa shtora liyodei, or ad shehich zigbo. So in this interim period, when the Jew paid the non-Jew, the Gentile, money, as long as the Jew wasn't machzig besoda, nechzeakom reyem kefka v'kol hakoidem liskois behem zocho. And that's the gevaldige chiddush of the Gemara. So when a Jew buys a field or a house from a non-Jew, and the Jew paid, but he still didn't, ulo tafas cheska, I don't know how to say that in English. He didn't take control, or
possession,
he didn't take possession of the house or the field. In that interim period, it's like hefker, and anybody could be zoicha. And the Gemara's interpretation is, Aku miki yosa zozariyodei mafkalei. The non-Jew got money. What does he care? You know, he got his money, so he's mafker. And it's efker. Until the Jew doesn't really take possession of that house or that field. And Pashtus Loshon HaGemara Mashma, it's hefker, mamish. And some achayinim are troubled. Why would it be hefker? Nothing becomes hefker unless the proper owner is mafkir. So let's assume that the non-Jew, that the guy doesn't care, but why would he be mafka? How does it actually become hefka? So Rabbi Itzel Aponovisher, in his Sefer, Zeche Yisuk Siman Ayin Ches, says it's not reasonable to assume it would be hefka mamish, but rather it's like an aveda, because if the guy doesn't care, it's like an aveda. And aveda's guy, there is no mitzvah shavas aveda, and therefore kol hakoydim niskay zocha. Which would not be a reasonable explanation. Why would it be defined as an aveda? The basic reality and interpretation of an aveda is, if a person loses something, it's no longer in his possession, in his control, but okay, the guy got money, but legally, still, he's in control, he is there. So why would this be defined as avedas akum shekol hakoydim liskei zochot? Would it be reasonable to say that the goy is makna as he gets money, but the Jew isn't koina until he is machzik, and therefore, by the legal nature, it would be hefker? Not reasonable, because there's another sugya in Bava Basra Kuf Lamed Ches. In Bava Basra Kuf Lamed Ches, the Gemara deals with a situation in which a person says to another, I give you this as a matana. And when it comes into the possession of the recipient, he says, I don't want this matana. And there's a machlokes Rashbam and Tosfos. And Tosfos says, as long as the recipient doesn't receive, then the giver didn't give away. There's nothing in the middle. And we would never say, if I gave it away and he refuses to accept, it would be hefker. No. If it doesn't go into his possession, it stays in your possession. And this Machloikis Rashbam and Tosfos deals with the very nature of transactions, the very nature of kinyonim. How do we define a noisen and a makabel, or a moicha and a koina? Is it two different stages? First, the giver takes it out of his possession, and the recipient, whether we're dealing with matona or with mechira, whether we're dealing with purchase or with a gift. Is it two different stages? First of all, the giver takes it out of his possession and the recipient brings it into his possession. And if that would be our understanding, if I gave and he refuses to receive, it's hefker. Or would we say, no, this is actually one. And it only leaves the possession of the giver by entering the possession of the recipient. So there's nothing in the middle. And there's no situation in which would we say, I gave to you, but if you don't want to receive from me, then it's hefker. Then it's somewhere out there in the middle. So Rashbam says, yes, if I gave, and you're not willing to receive, then it's hefker. But Tosfos says no. The only way it leaves my possession is by entering into your possession, and therefore, im ata meserev lekabel, az ani gam lo natati. That is the Rashbam. And this touches upon the sugya of nechse akum hareihem kehefka. So according to the Rashbam, it is easier to understand this gemara kepshutoi. If the guy gives away when he receives kesef, and the Jew isn't koina until he makes a chazaka, so beini ubeini, in that interim period, it actually would be hefker. According to Tosfos, doesn't work that way. But nevertheless, the Rambam, the Rashbam, do seem to explain it is hefker mamish. So, that is why Avraham Avinu insists and doing Kenyan Chazok as well. Because in Choshen Mishpot, Kuf Tzadik Dalet, Siv Gimel, there are two opinions brought in the Shulchan Aruch. Nechse Akum Areim Kehefker. Would a shtar solve the problem? Or only Chazok? And according to one of the two opinions brought in the Shulchan Aruch, it is only Chazok. Even shtar would not be sufficient. Unless the shtar was written before money was given, and the shtar comes before the money. But if he gave money and the girl received money before writing the shtar, it still would be hefkel in that period. And therefore, Avraham insists not only on shtar, on chazaka as well, to ensure that this purchase would be valid, and there would be no way to try to invalidate this kinyan, and that is why Avraham does kesef plus shtar plus chazaka to ensure that this purchase will be valid, lenetzach nitzuchem, and there will be no way to invalidate or try to uproot the validity of the kinyan of Zdei Ephraim. So up to this point, and this we dealt with kinyan Zdei HaMachpelah lefi choshe mishpot, and we dealt with two different aspects of this sugya as described in the psukim of this parsha in Torah HaKinyonim, the different kinyonim and why Avraham used these three kinyonim, and besides the kinyonim, and the trying to understand the dealings and the formulations and the language Avraham used when dealing with Ephraim and Zecha on one hand and with Bnei Chais on the other hand to bring about the proper purchase of Zdei HaMachpelah for Klal Yisrael l'doyles olam. And just to me'inyan le'inyan ba'oisi winyan, just to give a brief discussion, which is halacha l'maisa, which has to do with the sugyas we discussed. So we brought the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Chavav. B'mokim shenahagu lichtev eshtar, kesef is not koina. And the reason is, lo samchedate. And there's a question regarding proper purchases of apartments or nadlan in our country. Haim yesh tokef lekinyan chatimat chozeh b'li rishum b'tabo. Because in this country, as in most modern societies, I don't know what tabo is called in America, but there is a sefer shel karkoot ha-medina, and when you purchase any nechsederonaida, what Chazal describes as nechosim sheyesh lo machrayis, serich rishum b'tabo. Is that ma'ak of the Kenyan? So the Chazon Ish and Lekutim Choshe Mishpat Tzimen Teh Zayin deals with this question, but this question was Oyla al Shulchan Malachim going back more than 400 years. And I think the first source dealing with this question is Shuvas Mahari Basan, living a few hundred years ago in Simin Tzadik Aleph, and he says that the question was dealt with by the Ra'anach. And this takes us back more than 400 years. And the way it is described in their sforum is the Metubali. And Metubali was the Rishum, the Mirsham HaKarkaot in European countries in those days. And the Mari Basan writes that the Ra'anach dealt with this question, and he said, without proper Rishum, then the Kinyan would be invalid. And he brings up two arguments. One is based on Dina de Melchus Adina. And maybe we will look for an opportunity in the near future to dedicate a Shia to the very fundamental sugya of Dina de Melchus Adina. I do not recall whether we ever discussed this sugya here in this forum. And it's a fascinating sugya. What are the limits? And what is the essence of Dina de Melchus Adina? So one of the arguments that the Gedolim brought up hundreds of years ago was Dina de Melchus Adina. And if according to the law, a purchase is not valid unless it is written in tabo, rishum b'tabo, then that would affect halacha as well. And the other argument brought up by the Mari Basan is the Gemara in Kiddushin, b'mokim shenago lichtev es shtar, there's a lack of smichas das, as long as there is no shtar. So b'mokim shenago lirshom b'tabo, maybe there's a lack of smichas das, unless that Rishum is performed. So that is based on the Gemara in Kedushin Chavav, which is also a Sif in Shulchan Aruch Simen Kuf Tzadik, Sif Zayin, and Sif Ches. And the Gedolim, a generation or two after the Ra'anach and Mari Basan, once again deal with this question. Shas Yeshuv is Divrei Emes Simen Yud Beis, Rabbi Yitzchok Bachar David, and he lived more than 200 years ago, and the Noide B'Yuda was a great admirer of Rabbi Yitzchok Bachar David, who was one of the Gedolei Sfarad, as we see in Shuvas Nagid Biyuda, and in Shal Shuvas Mutzal Ma'esh Semites. And they agree with Mari Basan. However, there's a slight disagreement between those Gedolim, whether the ruling is based primarily on Dina de Malchus Adina or primarily on the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Chavav, Mamukim Shenago, Lichtav Zeshtar, there is a lack of Smichas Das. And we also find the discussion in Chuvas Chasam Sofer, Choshe Mishpetzim, and Kuf Mem Beis. The Chazon Ish maintains that that a purchase is legal even without Rishum Betabo. And in my understanding, I definitely would argue it has validity even without Rishum Betabo. And I think many Gedolim have a misunderstanding regarding the legal status of a purchase Shelo Nirsham Betabo. And as a general comment, many times I explain to my Talmidim and Koilel, because we learn Choshe Mishpat and Koilel, that modern law deals less with abstract concepts and more with the practicality, with the practical aspects of life and of law. And not like the nature of halacha, which is based primarily on concepts and in abstracts. And metoich hagdoras advorim, we come to halacha. Modern law deals more with the practical aspects than with the abstract concepts and definitions. So, in modern law, hamashma'ut shel rishum betabo is based on tom lev. So, if a person purchased a field or a house and he checked the tabo, that is the best he could do. And according to the tabo, belongs to Pliny, and he bought from Pliny. Then Almoni comes along and he has a contract that he purchased this very same house before the seller sold it to you. I know a person, a kablan, I won't mention his name, I won't even mention where he lives, which continent he lives, but this is a true story. He sold an apartment to two people. And when purchaser number two came to tear his house down, how did you dare? He said, I remember my Rosh Yeshiva sold his chumetz to two rabbonim. So he sold to Rav number two the same chumetz he sold to Rav number one. How could he sell his chumetz twice? I did the same with this apartment. It's a very strong argument. So, in modern law, if a person buys a house and he checked the tabo, and according to the tabo, he purchased the house from the proper owner, and then a person comes along and he takes out a contract and a shtar, but I purchased the house from the same seller 6 months before he sold it to you, then we will give the house to purchaser number two. As long as he purchased Betam Lev. How does one translate Tom Lev in English? Good faith. Out of good faith. Because he did all that was within his power to do. He checked the tabo. And if according to the Rishum B'tabo, he bought it out of good faith from the one that was considered in Sifrei HaTabo, the seller, then the court will give it to purchaser number two. And purchaser number one will have to deal with the seller and a monetary claim. You know, you took my money, give back my money, but we will give the house to purchaser number two. And that is similar to what we find in Chazal, Betkones Haloikhin, Tkones Halekuchois, but Chazal deal with metaltalin, and modern law says the same regarding karka. So even in modern law, Rishum Betabo is not ma'akev betoris ha-kenyonim. And if the court will be impressed that purchaser number two was aware or could have been aware that the seller already sold that house, in that case the court will not give it to purchaser number two because he didn't act out of good faith. V'lo nahag b'tom lev. So even in modern law, a transaction is valid, gamim lo nirsham b'tabo. It doesn't affect the etzem validity of a transaction. However, hachok magen al anashim shepoalim b'tom lev. And if there was no hearat azara, v'lo haya rishum b'tabo, v'gam lo hearat azara, v'harochesh ha'sheni kana b'tom lev, hachok magen alav. But even according to modern law, Rishum Betabo is not Ma'akev, it's a Kenyan, and the Kenyan is valid. Gamim lo nirsham Betabo. Tens of thousands of apartments and pieces of property in Israel have no Rishum Betabo. So there are alternatives. Aval kol rishumim lo ma'akvim. And the purchase, the validity of the purchase is based on the transfer of money and on the chozeh, which is the contract, and the conditions which are specified in the contract. So even in modern law, contrary to what Gedolim wrote 400 years ago, Rishum Betabo einenu ma'akev et etzem hakinyan, and therefore, halachically speaking, it definitely would not be ma'akev etzem hakinyan, and the transaction would be valid even if it was not. Gamim lo nirsham betabo mitzad dina demalchus adina. And mitzad smichus das. To me, it would seem simple that all we find in the Gemara, as long as a person has no documentation to prove the purchase, there is no smichus das. But once he has a chose and he has documentation, sam chedate, even though Rishum Betabo was not performed. So why would we argue and extend what we find in the Gemara? All we find in the Gemara in Chosh HaMishpat is, B'mokem shenag olichto v'seshtar loy sam chedatai b'kinyin kesef. And to me, it's not the same at all. If a person pays money and he has nothing to prove why he paid this money, he has no documentation to prove the purchase, it is only then that Chazal say, Loi sam chedate. But if he has a contract, even before Rishum Betabo, sam chedate, and that transaction is totally valid. So when I bought a house in Yerushalayim 21 years ago, 22 years ago, maybe I was irresponsible, maybe I was reckless, but when it comes to money, that's the way I am. I bought the house, I paid the full price, and I chasmed the chozeh, and I didn't take care of the tabo till about 6 or 7 years later. And the person that sold me the house was a nice person, and I had no reason to think that that he might sell it to someone else after he sold it to me. And it took years till I took a lawyer to deal with the tabo. So out of my personal experience and personal feelings and personal dealings, I say, obviously, if you have a contract, sam chedate, even though you didn't do the Rishum Betabo, and that is why my psak is the purchase, the transaction is totally valid even before Rishum Betabo, and that is also the opinion of the Chazon Ish for his reasoning, Likutim Chosh HaMishpat Simen Tezayin, based on both arguments that we find in Mari Basan going back hundreds of years, and the Gedolim of that time said, two svaras, lo sam chedate, number one, and number two, dina de malchus adina, and I expressed my opinion based on both concepts, that even without Rishum Betabo, the Kenyan would be totally valid. And in modern law, we're not dealing with the validity of the purchase, but rather with the practicality. What happens when a person buys a house, and according to the tabo, he bought it from its proper owner. But then it becomes evident that somebody else bought that very same house before him. So who of the two will have the upper hand? And modern law says, if purchaser number two acted out of good faith, and he did everything that was within his power to do, what else could he do besides checking tabo? There was no hearat azara. Then the law would put this piece of property in the possession of purchaser number two, and purchaser number one, he did a mistake. that he didn't put a Hayarat Hazara, and therefore he pays the price of his follies, and he bears the consequences of his irresponsible action that he didn't at least put a Hayarat Hazara. But that doesn't mean that the purchase and the transaction is invalid. And as I said, modern law deals more with the practical implementation than with the abstract hagdoras of chalois akinyoni. So this is just a halachic discussion, a brief halachic discussion, based on the very same concepts we dealt with regarding kinyans de'a machpelo. And as I said at the beginning of today's shiur, so the first parsha in Chaye Sora deals with kinyans de Ephraim, and then we go on to the longest parsha in Chumash Bereishis. I think it's Samech Zayim Psukim, and that is the shlichus and the mission of Eliezer Eved Avraham, when Avraham sends him to find a wife for Yitzchak Benoi. And Avraham tells Eliezer, Al tikach isho lebni mebnoi sakani, ki em el arzi ve'el moladati telech. And this brings to mind a huge question. So why is Avraham so proud of his family? And he says, go back there. Avraham wasn't much of a yachsen. And his father was Terach, an oved avodah zarah. And Avraham had a hard time with his father. You know, many times when I had to make such an effort to getting kids into schools, and Beis Yankiv and Cheders, and sometimes the Menalim and the Menahalot don't want these children because the father works and he wears a blue shirt and he doesn't wear a hat all week and all these stupid and outrageous arguments. I say Avraham Avinu would have a hard time getting any of his children into a school today. I don't think Avraham would get his kids into any Beis Yankov or any cheder with his pedigree, with his ksav yuchsin. So why is Avraham so proud of his family? And he tells that he has a go back there. In Eretz Canaan, I think just last week I quoted the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Avodis Kechovim, Nigvetzu Elav Alofim Veravavois. So in Eretz Canaan, Avraham had thousands, tens of thousands of Talmidim. And why didn't he choose one of those Talmidim? So why does he send Eliezer back, go back there to my family, V'tikach Isho Levni? And obviously, Lovan and Besuel weren't people of the highest caliber, dealing with the way they deal with Eliezer Eved Avraham. So the Kli Yochor makes an interesting comment. And we find this interpretation many years before the Kli Yochor and Rosh Hasharan. And they say, yes, Avraham's family were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. But Avraham is not concerned about Avodah Zarah. In Avraham Avinu's Daled Amos, in his home, Avodah Zarah is not a possibility. It's not an option. In the house of Avraham Avinu, where the Or HaEmes is so obvious and shining in such an unbelievably bright light, there is no possibility of Avodah Zarah. Avraham is only concerned about Midas Toivos. And he knows his family to be Balei Midas Toivos. So when Avraham comes to establish and to plant the seeds of Kerem Beis Yisrael, his primary concern is Midas Toivos. After all, Chazal do say in Masechet Avos, Eizehen Talmidov Shel Avraham Avinu. So we would imagine, who are the Talmidim? Who are the disciples of Avraham Avinu? Those that know the entire Shas Malpeh? Those that are Mekayim Kol HaMitzvos Shebetorah Ad Sheloi Nitnu? But what do Chazal say? Eizehen Talmidov Shel Avraham Avinu. Kol Shesh Bo Ayin Toivo V'Ruach Nemucho V'nefesh Feilo. And who are the Talmidim, disciples of Bilam? Kol Shesh Bo Ayin Ro V'ruach Gavoyo V'nefesh Rochovo. What are these three fundamentals? Ayin Toivo, Ruach Nemucho V'nefesh Feilo. I think they coincide with Hakina v'tana tava v'akavod mavira mesa'odim and avoida. So obviously Chazal feel that of all the midas rois, the three culprits and the three worst are kina v'tava v'kavod. Ayin toiva is the hefech of kina. Ruach numucha is the hefech of kavod. Nefesh shvela is the hefech of tava. Keneged hakina v'tava v'kavod shemavira mesa'odim and avoida. Chazal say, "Kol sheish bo ayin toiva, ruach numucha, v'nefesh shvela." Those are the talmidim of Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu is concerned above anything else about the basic traits and the midos shebenefesh adam, because those are hereditary, and therefore that is what Avraham is concerned about more than anything else. He's not overly concerned about avodah zarah, and he is sure. He was successful in converting the entire world. Those are lofim v'ravolei shenig b'suela v'shosar b'liba m'suikar ha'godol azeh v'hena nefesh ha'shosar b'choran. Those are anshei beis Avraham. So Avraham is not concerned about avodah zarah, but he is concerned about midas tovos. And based on this klei yochor, based on this drosha saran, so Baruch Hashem, yesterday night we had a simcha in the family, and Einikel became a chosid. I think I said this a week ago, right? So another one became a chosid. So now we have two Einikel chasanim, upcoming simchas, upcoming chasanas, Beis Hashem, in a few months. So Baruch Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu does some beautiful things to us. So when it comes to shiduchim, more than anything else, we stress and put importance and significance on midas tovos. And that is what we learned from Avraham Avinu. The very first shidduch b'Beis Yisrael was Yitzchak. And what Avraham is concerned about is midas tovos, according to the Klei Yochor, according to the Drosh HaSaran. And that's why, what is the simen, what is the ice that Eliezer determines? V'hoyu anaro asher oimer oleo. And she will say, "Shtei ve'gam ligmor lecho ashke." That is the one that will go b'midas chesed above and beyond. After all, Rivka was a young girl, and Eliezer was a grown-up man. Why would she say "gam ligmor lecho ashke"? That is going above and beyond the call of duty, above and beyond what is expected from a decent person. From a decent girl, wouldn't be enough if she says, "Please, you know, help yourself." That would be nice enough. And she offers, "Well, you're coming after a journey, so you're probably tired." So she offers, "Not only you drink, gamlig malech washka," because that is taking midas tovos to an extreme. And Eliezer says, "That is the way. That is how I will find a fitting wife for Yitzchak." So when Avram comes to plant the seeds of Kerem Beis Yisrael for eternity, for all coming generations, what concerns Avram more than anything else is midas tovos. And that is why Chazal say, "Who are the talmidim of Avram Avinu? Kol sheyesh bo ayin toiva, ruach namucha, v'nefesh shvela." V'kach amru Chazal b'Yevamos is the fine ches. Shloisha simonim yesh bu'umezu, rachmonim, baishonim, v'goyim leichasodim. So before being the brightest and the best and the most intelligent, what is far more important is rachmonim, baishonim, v'goyim leichasodim. Kol sheyesh bo ayin toiva, v'ruach nemucha, v'nefesh shvela. Those are the talmidim of Avraham Avinu. Yeros and shechalkenu amom. And Chazal teach us, it is not only the Torah and the mitzvahs, it is first and foremost the midas tovos of our great avos, starting with Avraham Avinu, who was a paragon in Achnas Sarchem and in Gemilas Chasod. Titen chesed la'Avraham. And many times I explained what we find in the Zohar. Shloisha Savas, Arkeneged Torah Avoidig and Minas Chasod. Titan Chesed Lavrom, Vayita Eshel, Avrom is Chesed, Yitzchak is Avoida, Bas Yitzchak is the ultimate sacrifice, the Akedah. Yankov is Ishtam Yoshev Aholim. So Avraham Yitzchak Yankov, Torah, Avoyde, and Gemaras Chasodim. And maybe at another opportunity in the near future, we will try to explain. So why by the Ovis is the other way around? So in the Mishnah, Torah comes first, and then Avoyde and Gemaras Chasodim. By the Ovis, other way around. Starts off with Chesed by Avraham, from Chesed to Avoyde, and culminates, it ends with Torah, which is Yankov Ishtam Yoshev Aholam. Yet also we should always be able to say, Chayav Odom Loima, Mose Yagia Maseh L'Maseh Avoysei, and we should learn from the others. And when we do learn from the others, Chazal say, Kol HaHoylech B'Darko Oves, Ani Meskoyim Amorav B'Skus Avois, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remember to our merit, Chazdei Oves, and Bris Oves, and Skus Avois, ובגלל אובויס תושיה בונים וסובי גאולו לבני בניהם בביאז גויל צדק במהירו ויומנו אמן.
Tabu in English is title. It's title.
What?
Title.
Title
for English.
That was title.
I'm not here for a few.
And Rishum B'Tabu, how would you define Rishum B'Tabu?
It's slightly different. It's a title, you know, whatever, but it's...
מה זה שהפעיל הראשון היציב? משהו להסיר על הרב.